You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hello. Thank you for going to the Les Schwab Twires?
I don't know.
Hello. We appreciate you going to the Les Schwab.
Why can't you say tires?
Vive Clicquot. It's the same
thing.
Just
say tires.
Where do we pick up from? Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Sinner and the Saint podcast. I'm Luke Anderson.
I'm Will Darkins, and this is sponsored by Les Schwab Tires. Is that right?
I think so.
Okay.
Yep. Enjoy.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Hey, kids, happy Saturday. It is a beautiful day in the Rose City.
Beautiful.
And we're very happy that you can join us on this fine sporting program.
Program.
My hype man, Will Darkins, with me as always.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's a beautiful Saturday.
Doing a fine job there, young man. I appreciate your enthusiasm. Some sort of explosion there.
It's kind of animal noise.
Well, it's over. It's over. The NBA is over. The NHL is over. We're officially into baseball season. Sure would be nice if Portland had a team. The Mariners are cruising, huh? You've been following that a little bit there, Darkins?
Oh, no.
You said you, the other day you were.
No.
They had a two-game series against the Astros.
I followed it.
You
because...
checked in on the score. Admit it.
When there's a winning... on my app accidentally before I went to bed.
You still read it.
I read it. You still read that happens to me all the time.
Oh, come on.
No, on my phone, I swear to you. Like, I'll go into an app inadvertently, and then I'll get sucked into something. You know what I mean?
No.
Does that ever happen to you?
No, you're going to have to explain more.
Well, like, for instance, I was checking on the Washington Post. I like to look through their comics in the morning. Get myself a little bit of a laugh.
What, Dick, check on the Ziggy and the Family Circus?
I don't do Ziggy and Family Circus. I like Perils Before Swine. It's good.
I've not looked at a comic in probably 10 years.
Well, I saw one of those stories that they were talking about how that...
Wait. You got interrupted by a story in the Washington Post when you were looking at the comics.
So yeah, well, I was trying to get to the comic section, and then they had that a little sub-story about what they were talking about on primetime about that guy's house in Canada that had the toilet in the living room with the shower.
Don't know anything about this.
Okay, so this guy put up his house for sale in Canada, and there's just a toilet.
Just like in the open room?
Yeah. It looks like a very regular living room. There's hardwood floors, but there's just a toilet there with a shower.
Okay.
There's a fireplace.
Sure, okay.
It's for pooping, I would guess. That's why you put the hardwood floors down, right?
The shower is for pooping?
Well, no, the toilet's for pooping. Like, I don't think you'd just pee in it because the hardwoods allow it so the smell doesn't attach to a carpet.
Anyway, so moving on from this. So you got caught up in that story.
Yeah.
But that's not the same as having a genuine interest in the baseball game.
No, because I didn't.
Oh, I talked to you the day after the Mariners beat up the Astros.
I literally came up to you and I go, looks like the Mariners won. And then I told you the score, 7-1. And then you go, yeah, blah, 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 blah. They pitched this, they hit this. And I go, yeah, I don't know anything about that. I know the score, though.
All I'm saying is you could have skipped over it. But you retained the score. This is you becoming a baseball fan very slowly.
I don't know about that.
I'm telling you, we got 3 months of nothing but, so... I mean, we got mini camps starting, but I don't know that that's gonna take care of everything.
Friggin' talk about mini camp. I don't know what the hell we're gonna talk
this
about.
This is what I'm saying.
What, you want to just turn into a baseball show?
No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying it's nice that you have, and I'm holding up my fingers very close together here for our radio listening audience. You have this much interest in baseball,
super close,
which will help propel us to football season in August.
You want to speculate on Shohei Ohtani's injury?
Ooh, man, does he have to get Tommy John?
Wouldn't that be the better case, though?
I don't know. I mean, he loses.
You don't want the rotator.
He loses a year. See, look at you caring about baseball. Yeah, the rotator cuff is the worst injury for a pitcher, for
sure. That's someone you don't want, but he can hit.
That's true. And you wonder if the right decision is to have him do both, or if he's more valuable as a hitter. It's all very, very interesting. This conversation will go on for the next 3 months.
Oh, God. 3 months?
No. Don't worry about that. We can also mix in speculation about where LeBron's going to go.
Oh, God. We can do that already.
He can resign with the Cavs before June 29th.
Well, I heard some rumor online about him going to Orlando.
Well, that's if he doesn't go to the Warriors.
There was also, I had to tell you this, there's a Twitter timeline of somebody who did a put together a theory. And we also want to hear your theories about where he'll want to go. 55305 is the text line. But
There's also Twitter.
There's also Twitter. You can tweet us at CenterSaint1080. But
or,
I also saw something.
Or at 1080 the fan.
Well, screw that one. But I saw on the timeline that there was somebody who put together a theory that Kyrie Irving left the Cavaliers under LeBron James' idea.
Oh, he was instructed to, so he could go meet him in Boston?
Yes, so that they looked ahead into the future like 3 years, and they go, we don't have enough talent to do this. I'm going to go over to Boston and force a trade, and then once your deal's done next year, you come on over here and we'll make some moves.
Little
and I thought
brother,
to myself, that's kind of interesting.
Do a little brother. Yeah, that's stupid. That's stupid. There's no way. Imagine how much more interesting this series would have been had Kyrie Irving been there. Now, he wouldn't have been because we know that he would have had to have knee surgery either way. But going into it.
But wasn't that last year, too?
What?
I mean, he was playing last year, wasn't he?
I don't think the Warriors were firing on all cylinders like they were last year. There's some rumors about that. Listen, we'll get into it. Before we get into all of the NBA Finals drama and everything that's going to move on, we owe our audience. Our fine, fine audience. They're people that tune in just for this program is all their sporting news. And we try to fulfill our promise every week and catch them up on everything they missed in the week in sports in a segment we call In Case You Missed It. Thank you. In case you missed it this week. Calm down. In case you missed it this week, Fox News used a photo of the Philadelphia Eagles kneeling to pray to defend Donald Trump's decision to disinvite them to the White House, proving once again the only thing the right hates more than disrespecting the flag is praying to God.
Don't bring that political stuff in here.
It is a big story.
You just lost
story.
Our evangelical audience, by the way.
I'm sorry about that. That's a big story, though, this week is the controversy over who is and who is not invited to the White House. Before the champion was even announced, they decided that they were not going to invite the NBA champions. And here's the propaganda that I hope comes out of this is Donald Trump. He decided not to invite the NBA champions. But when a Russian wins the Conn Smythe trophy, he has no problem inviting the Stanley Cup champions. No? Do you think we can get that going? No?
I don't know if there's enough interest in that one.
He doesn't like the African Americans, but he loves the Russians.
Did you hear he was trying to appeal Muhammad Ali's prison sentence or kind of toss it out? Did you hear that?
Oh,
he was going to pardon Muhammad Ali, and then Muhammad Ali's family's lawyer made a statement that said, yeah, that's great, but the Supreme Court already pardoned him in 1971, so you can't pardon something that's already been pardoned.
Yeah, he's fairly clueless. The best part is I want it to look like he is welcoming the Washington Capitals with open arms.
Yes.
But here's his actual statement. This is Donald Trump, quote from Twitter. He goes, we'd love to have the Washington Capitals come here. And then he says, if they don't want to be here, though, I don't want them. So he's officially inviting them and disinviting them in the same quote.
Yeah.
I think our president is my junior high girlfriend. Is that possible?
Not bad.
No. I mean, we really want them here. But, I mean, if they don't want to be here, we don't want them. Good for you. In case you missed it this week, the Washington Capitals won their first Stanley Cup, defeating the Las Vegas Golden Knights in 5 games. But don't worry, Golden Knights fans, they will be back. Just ask our fan, Dan Marino. No, we forgot to get the sound for that.
That was you.
I know I had, I just didn't give it to you. It's in
now
the system.
Now you're just friggin' throwing stuff out that but nobody still, even knows about.
Well, I know, but do you know where I'm
I mean, wondering? I can find it.
It's in there.
Hopefully.
Yeah, it's in there. PG73887, I think. We don't need it for the joke. I think everybody gets it.
Hi, I'm Dan Marino from the Miami Dolphins. Did not flub at all. There was no f***ing flub. I don't want to see shit. I just f***ing send it in.
Dan Marino.
Sounds like a gangster.
Yeah.
Marino?
Oh,
I wasn't aware that Marino sounded so much like an Italian mob boss. I mean, take a listen to that one more time.
Hi, I'm Dan Marino from the Miami Dolphins. Did not flub at all. There was no f***ing flub. I don't want to see shit. I just f***ing send it in.
Yeah, I mean, God, that guy, throw that guy in Godfather.
Dan Marino's great. I mean, the fact that he was unbearable to work with and they kicked him off of CBS when he's that charming,
yes,
that good looking, and those ice and toner gloves. Hey-ho.
I would imagine Dan Marino is very intimidating. That you don't, like, you work with him in the capacity that, like, I'll chat with you, you know, in the 3 minutes we have between commercial breaks. But if I'm going to find you in the hall, man, I'm... No. There's another hallway I can walk down.
Dan Marino strikes me as a guy that always has better things to do than talk to you.
Yes, of course.
Always. This week, in case you missed it, Julian Edelman could be facing a 4-game suspension for PEDs.
Ah!
Also following right on the heels of that story, another shocking report. Someone spotted a bear pooping in the woods. Any surprise whatsoever when an NFL player gets popped?
No, and the fact he went out on Instagram and was like...
I'm sorry.
Oh, it
I'm
was
so
a mistake.
Sorry. I don't know what happened.
It was a mistake.
Yeah.
Oops. I get paid millions of dollars to have advisors who tell me what's good to put in my body and not. But this time.
It's the classic, I'm sorry I got caught.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's I'm so sorry that I got caught. To disappoint all my fans. And I can't believe I got caught. I mean, seriously.
Fans.
I've been doing this for years. In case you missed it this week, Ricky Fowler proposed to his girlfriend, Allison Stokey. Posted a photo on Instagram that said, "Today is National Best Friends Day, so I wanted to lock mine down. I won!" And then I threw up. If you missed it, and in case you're wondering, she did say yes, and I can still taste the puke in my mouth. Also this week, Brian Colangelo and the 76ers decided to part ways. Decided to part ways. Yes. The only people that were shocked by that were 5 seemingly anonymous Twitter accounts.
Oh.
That's pretty good.
Not bad.
Not bad. Speaking of burner accounts, online sportsbook bookmaker.eu has officially set odds for NBA players getting caught with burner accounts in the future.
Oh.
The Portland Trailblazers' own Damian Lillard made the list with 80-1 odds. Dame, if you're listening. I have an idea that can make us both a lot of money. I think he already has a lot of money. I don't think he's going to. Think we can get Dame.
Was that the punchline?
Well, yeah, I mean. No?
I didn't get that one.
Why not?
Oh, it went over my head.
There's 2 parts to it. First, okay. Damian Lillard listening to the show. It's part of the joke.
Oh, that. All right.
The second part is that Damian Lillard needs 80-1 odds to make a lot of money and that he would want to work with me. Yeah. No? All right.
It's rough.
Yeah, there we go.
It's rough over there.
I don't know. Hey, listen, not everything works.
All right.
You're my only audience
I
member.
I know. Just,
and
you
if,
know,
it, if it doesn't hit with you, it doesn't hit.
Well, that's hard. You got to bring your A game.
I ran it past the focus group, and everybody really
and
liked
really,
it.
It's not about hitting, like, it's not about that I have such suave taste. It's about you got to really make it obvious.
No, I know. It needs to
the really, air conditioner is running up in my head.
I need to dumb things down quite a bit. Yeah. Well, and finally, in case you missed it last night, the Golden State Warriors completed the sweep of the Cleveland Cavaliers to win their 2nd straight title and their 3rd in 4 years. Equally surprising last night, someone spotted a bear pooping in the woods. Hey, we start with the
bring
Cavs.
It back around.
Is that a lot dumber for you? We start with there. We start with the Cavs Warriors NBA Finals. What went wrong for the Cavs? That's next. Center and Saint, 1080 the Fan. All right. right, we kind of started out the show with a little bit of depressing jokes. News. If you didn't notice, NHL, NBA, over. No NFL until August.
All Mariners from here.
All Mariners the rest of the way.
Oh, and don't forget speculation if we're going to get a baseball team, which won't happen really even realistically for another 2, 3, 4 years.
The best we can hope for is, I'm guessing, somewhere around a year and a half to find out whether or not we may get one.
May get one.
That's kind of where we're at. So
now it's seeming from a lot of interviews that the A's come in here is kind of a, like, that's a pipe dream.
Yeah, I mean, I think that one's probably the longest shot, and then expansion's going to take even longer.
Yeah.
The Rays coming here might be more likely, but it's hard to say, and it's all speculation, very much like what we're going to do next segment with LeBron James. But, hey, that's where we live in sports. I mean, it's half the fun having arguments that there is no correct answer to. Who's the greatest of all time? Who?
I believe they call those open-ended questions.
Are they open-ended questions or are they open-ended debates? Because it's an ongoing. It will never, you know, I seen a headline this morning. The only player that should ever be compared to Michael Jordan is Kobe Bryant. Like, now people are upset if you compare the wrong people.
I was actually kind of upset because after the finals, I got to read you this one.
Okay.
Because after the finals, they basically got right to comparing Kevin Durant to some of the best players of all time. And so ESPN put out this infographic that had KD on it with Michael Jordan behind. And it had something that said only players to have 4 scoring titles and multiple finals MVPs. So immediately right after the finals, Kevin Durant wins his 2nd straight finals MVP. Yep. And they go, all right, let's start comparing him to Michael Jordan. Never in hell ever. Never. Never.
But again, here's where we end up in sports.
Here's where we end up. Because it was such a terrible game that this is where we had to go.
Well, not a terrible game, a terrible series. I mean, let's be honest. After game one, the rest of the series was very lackluster. And apparently, we're finding out that LeBron James punched a whiteboard after game one. He was so mad.
That's awesome.
May have broken his hand. Definitely has some sort of hand injury. Self-reported hand injury, by the way. That he's been hiding from the media, and anytime he's been in public, he's taken off the wrap, but he's been wearing it in private since game one.
He didn't even practice.
Yeah, he just stayed. Well, no, he did practice. He just didn't, from what I read, he didn't wear the guard in practice.
Oh, well, I had read that, like, he would do, you know, kind of pregame stuff, yeah, but when it came to individual team practices, yeah, he was just like, nope, can't do it. And I can see it both ways because you're getting a lot of flack on Twitter from other people. And, you know, I want to hear from some of our listeners too, 55305, about this, because I think you can take this both ways, right? LeBron's making an excuse for why he lost.
Sure.
That's one very cynical way you can look at it. The other kind of side of the sword is that he kept this under wraps because
he didn't want it to be an excuse.
He didn't want it to be an excuse. He didn't want it to be something lingering throughout the series.
Well, but he also said he didn't want to give the Warriors a competitive advantage.
Which is also very true.
Thinking that if they knew, I mean, this is, you know, a tactic that goes back in sports forever where you don't want, you know, hockey does this better than anybody where they go upper body injury, lower body injury. And that's they've commissioned or they've talked to the league to make sure that that's all they have to report so you don't know where specifically on a body somebody is hurt, that they can take advantage of it. The NFL, you hear stories about this, especially in the trenches, where if you know somebody's got a bad arm or bad ankle,
go after it. Yeah.
So I mean, that's LeBron's kind of gamesmanship. But you also saw LeBron James come out with a 51-point game one, and he never looked quite that aggressive, but also that, I don't know if composed is the right word, but there's something a little off.
Dude, he put everything into that first game.
Sure.
Everything.
Yeah, but
he put all of himself into it, which right after the first game, I remember having a conversation with you, and I go, I think this is going to be a sweep. And he said, let's take a look at game three, because obviously game two, we can kind of just assume they'll have a letdown and lose. Let's take a look at game three. I felt like after that just took the wind out of anybody's sails.
Well, but they had a shot in game three. Don't paint it like they were getting housed in game three. No. They had a shot, and KD did the exact same thing he did last year in game
three
from the exact same spot, damn near.
Yeah.
And, you know, and drained that. And Steph Curry made his first three-pointer of the game when they needed it most. And, you know, it was one of those things, though, where, I mean, if you go back and rewatch games 2, 3, and 4, knowing that he had an injured hand, I wonder how much you would notice it. Because it seemed like something was off, because he didn't shoot nearly as well from distance.
And he didn't shoot as much.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's not even so much the worst shooting percentage, but it's not shooting as much. He didn't have the same confidence. And if your right hand is broken, you're not going to have the same confidence in your shot.
I kind of took that as him involving other people, because I thought he got to game three and he goes, look, this obviously isn't working. Me scoring 60 to 70% of the team's points. Maybe I should get other people involved and just go all out. Let's try it.
I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, that's not the reason they lost game one, is because he wasn't enough. It's that they were in a critical situation and the guys made mistakes. I think if anything, if you're going to correct one thing at the end of the game, you wouldn't make that pass to George Hill. You have four and a half seconds left, 4.7 or whatever. Mm. When he threw the pass, George Hill gets fouled on the entry and gets those free throws. I think he takes that shot instead. I don't think you trust your guys as much in the final moments, but that's been a criticism of LeBron his entire career, is if you have that moment at the final seconds of a game, you need to take it on yourself. But he's always made the right pass, and he's always made the right play. And if George Hill makes those free throws, I don't think anybody questions it.
Well, I think at a certain point, you got to put the game in somebody else's hands to kind of build confidence. I get it. You're one of the greatest players of all time, but I got why he passed to George Hill, and I get why he still tries to get teammates involved. Otherwise, you're going to turn into Kobe Bryant, which that's what Kobe Bryant was for the better half of the 2000s. Really the middle of the 2000s, which was, look, everybody sucks. I'm obviously 800 levels better than everybody else. I'm just going to take care of this and score 81, 82, 83 points in a game.
Well, he's not entirely wrong. I mean, there was a stretch there when they lost Shaq.
But it came down to the point where he finally went, okay, I need help. Let's go get Pau Gasol.
But he also had that mentality when he was playing with the Hall of Famer and Shaq and ran him out of town.
Yes.
So I understand your point.
Let's also look at the other side of this in the Warriors, because there was a really good piece put out by ESPN this morning that talked about how the Warriors really looked at their season after 2016. So after they lost the NBA Finals against LeBron the second time.
Yep.
The
second time they played.
Yes. Yeah. And they looked at their team and they just said, okay, we have the problem that every team has. And every team except for them at this point now has this problem, which is there are about two, if you're lucky, guys on the court who are really, really good at scoring points when you need to, that are on command, that you can call. Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum.
Yeah.
They're good at it. Would you agree?
Quite good.
Great. So.
Great.
Great. Okay.
Thank you. Let's move on to my next point.
So the Warriors had that, right? But then in 2016, you saw that they were challenged by LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Love, where they got a little bit close to beating that theory where if LeBron James kind of petered off, you still had Kyrie Irving to clean up the mess. And then Kevin Love played as kind of a buffer in between.
Kevin Love played great in this series,
by the way. Great. Yeah, great. He really built his resume up. But I think what the Warriors have done now is just say, hey, look, we're going to add Kevin Durant. So if the most likely thing happens, which is Klay and Steph go 9 for 27, don't worry about it. Just have KD clean up the mess.
See, but I'm not buying that.
If KD in the sweep game doesn't play as great, go score 37, Steph.
Listen, that's all well and good. Here's the problem with KD joining that team, is there's no team in the NBA that wouldn't have taken Kevin Durant on in free agency. There's nobody that said we don't want him. He's a top 2-3 player in the NBA at the time.
It just sullies it, though.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is no matter who he went to, it's very much like LeBron James free agency this year. Wherever he went, the team would be astronomically better and would be in contention, if not for a title, at least the Western Conference title. That's how good he was. No matter who he pairs up with, automatically has a better chance to win. I mean, the Oklahoma City Thunder were not that great of a team, and you can see what happened when he left. They didn't get any better being led by Russell Westbrook. Yeah, Russell Westbrook had one of the all-time seasons with all those triple-doubles, but what were they, a 6 seed last year? I mean, they're just – it's anybody would have taken Kevin Durant. The fact that Kevin Durant went to a team that won 73 games is just annoying.
It's annoying because –
and now we're living in that – where – because when it happened, you just kind of, ah, that sucks. And now you're seeing why that sucks. And yes.
And I was having a conversation with Dusty about this earlier in the week when we were kind of passing in the halls. And I said, I was kind of crapping on the Warriors because I was tired of watching the games because I knew the result. Mm-hmm. And he goes, well, what difference is it than what happened with Boston in the 2000s when they got Kevin Durant and everybody together? Kevin Garnett and
Ray Allen. Get your Kevin straight, Darkins.
A lot of Kevins.
Okay.
Miami, and then even the Bulls when they brought Rodman in the 90s. And I go,
yeah, but Rodman wasn't.
He wasn't the transcendent player. No. He was just kind of a glue guy you threw in there. But my whole difference was with Miami when LeBron went to that team, it was making something out of thin air that wasn't there yet.
They already had a championship, though, in Miami. And Dwayne Wade was pretty well established as a superstar.
Yeah, but they were losing in the first round. And all of those guys individually, except for LeBron, Wade and Bosch were losing in the first round of series, and they knew they all had to get together. Same thing with Boston. Paul Pierce was taking them a little bit into the playoffs.
Sure.
But they weren't. It was a huge stark difference from the first year to the next. The point you're making, I totally agree with, which is you already had the greatest regular season of all time, and then you just cheated and added 7-foot Michael Jordan.
Yeah, but again, the Warriors would be idiotic to say thanks, but no thanks. I put it more on Kevin Durant. No matter where he went, he would be able to improve the team and likely get them to a championship level. He chose to go to the Warriors.
I would have liked him more if he went to the Wizards.
Of course you would have liked him more if he went to any other team, because what was the reason to go there? Is we know we're going to win. Instead of going, hey, this is even LeBron James teaming up with Dwayne Wade, at least he was going to play with a buddy of his. He goes, hey, I really like this guy. I never went to college. I'm going to go party in Miami for a few years. Chris Bosh, let's go. Let's team up and make this a championship team. The Miami Heat did not have the NBA record for most wins in a season and played in back-to-back championships. And your team didn't lose to him 3-1 with a 3-1 lead in the Western Conference Finals. That's how good Kevin Durant is.
You know why I wanted Kevin Durant to go to the Wizards?
Because it would have set up some parity in the NBA.
He would have reunited with Scottie Brown.
Well done.
Brown, great coach, by the way.
Where would you go if you were LeBron James? 55305.
Oh.
We'll do that next. First, we'll do the news. 55305 is the fan text line. We asked you before the break who, where,
when,
how,
if.
If you were LeBron James, where would you go? Who would you play with? What uniform would you wear?
Who would you sleep with? Because that's a big narrative.
I think he's married. Okay. I'm sure he's faithful.
Okay, hey, you're done telling me facts, I'd like you to live in reality.
Would you be more surprised if there was a infidelity scandal or a PED accusation for LeBron?
Neither. Neither would surprise
me. Which would surprise you more?
I don't know. I guess PED. I wouldn't be surprised by the infidelity thing. I don't mean to crap on the guy's marriage. I'm just saying, you're LeBron James. You're traveling constantly.
Yeah. Let's see here. If LeBron were to come to Portland, he would be able to play the KD role with our already existing good team with fantastic plan B.
Okay.
I don't know about that.
I don't know either.
Let's be honest. He's going to the Lakers or the 76ers. Do you believe that?
I don't know at this point. I think it's kind of hard. Well, also, apparently LeBron can get his own Facebook show if he goes to Lithuania to play and acts like a idiot. I think that's a LeVar Ball reference.
Yeah, that is, I think that's brilliant. It's from our text line.
Or you could say trade CJ for Kawhi Leonard and bring Paul George and LeBron, says Sam the Mailman.
Yeah, that's a brilliant idea.
Hey, you asked them.
No, I did. I like it. I think LeBron will opt into a second year of his contract and get the roster and bring in one or two more stars and give it one last go, Golden State, Cleveland.
I don't think you can do that. There's a bunch of
financial. And he avoids joining the super team narrative. That's also in the same.
The only thing that you could do in terms of getting another superstar there is really in reality Chris Paul, because Chris Paul's the only one that you
could.
What
about Paul George?
Paul George is too hot at this point market-wise that you couldn't pay him lower than max. You'd have to pay Paul George. Chris Paul's the only one right at this point who I could see looking at the situation and going, "Okay, I'll take less than max. I'll go below." And then you'd also have to have LeBron James restructure his contract to say, "All right, I'll take less money." Because you can't just have Chris Paul and LeBron James on the same team and keep that same roster you have. It's trash. It's absolute garbage. You have to add a third piece.
So you keep Kevin Love.
You could keep Kevin Love. I mean, you just have to add more to it. There needs to be more. I mean, Kevin Love is a good piece, but then after that, there's such a dramatic drop off of talent that who's your next best player after Kevin Love?
Rodney Hood.
Rodney Hood. Maybe. I don't know. Is Kyle Korver?
Korver disappeared.
If
you're Dan Gilbert, though, wouldn't you pay whatever it takes in luxury tax and just and pay all the penalties to keep LeBron? I mean, they talk about this Warriors team being a $1 billion team by the time it's all said and done. By the time the superstars leave and Kevin Durant decides he's going to go and play somewhere else, they could end up spending $1 billion in luxury tax and contracts and all of this to this core group of guys. I mean, if you're Dan Gilbert, it's like, why not just pay out the nose to keep LeBron?
Well, if you're Dan
whatever
Gilbert, what's your end goal?
Well, that's what I mean. Like, you know, like if LeBron leaves, this team does exactly what they did the last time LeBron leaves. They go to the bottom of the conference and the bottom of the league, and they're back in the lottery draft. There's not another LeBron James coming down the pike. You do everything you can to keep him.
To me, I think Dan Gilbert's goal is to keep LeBron James until he retires. I think that they've accomplished their first goal, which was bring a title to Cleveland. And so if LeBron James leaves and he goes to the Lakers, the Sixers, even if he goes to Boston, I think you have a bunch of Cavs fans who go, that's fine. That's okay. You got us our title. You came back. We're okay with that. But I think for Dan Gilbert, it's more of an accomplishment if you can keep the guy there his entire career and then he retires. And then really Dan Gilbert's legacy is looked at as not as bad. Everybody yep. knows the relationship LeBron James has with Dan Gilbert is awful. It's sure. not good. Dan Gilbert kind of covered his ass this last time around by making a few kind of sneaky moves at the trade deadline to set him up for the draft.
Yeah.
And so basically covering his butt. So if LeBron James does leave, then at least he can kind of save himself.
Well, they have what? The 8th overall pick.
Yeah.
They've got a roster that they can basically dump everybody and still they'd still have to pay everybody. That's the whole problem. Is that
yes.
the way the contract
it's a money is set, problem.
It's going to be very difficult to build a team around them. But I mean, if you look at the way that the Warriors have been able to do it, they've been able to add veterans for next to nothing. The Cavs have tried to do it without, you know, really being able to do it. I don't know how realistic it is that he stays in Cleveland.
No.
Other than the fact that he's from there, it makes it really difficult. A couple other suggestions on the text line. LA Clippers, rich owner, LA market, lots of upside opportunity. Or sneaky location would be New Orleans.
New Orleans is an interesting one because you also have a veteran in Rajon Rondo who you know would pretty much give the ball over at certain points. I mean,
he doesn't shoot. He's not a scorer at all. I mean, the guy has more assists than points often. I mean, 20 assist games in the NBA playoffs. This is pretty big. But LeBron likes to have the ball in his hands, even though you've got another point guard that could do that. My thing is, though, with both of those suggestions and the whole idea of the Lakers and the Rockets and a lot of suggestions on the text line about the Portland Trailblazers, which surprises me.
Yeah, I ignore that.
But
those.
Wouldn't you want to stay in the East if you're LeBron James? I mean, what's the advantage other than, I guess, geography and the whole idea of he wants to be in L.A. to be in Hollywood? He could be on a plane to L.A. right now.
I guess my outlook about it is if you found the right team with the right kind of players, I don't think it really matters which coast you're on because eventually you're going to have to beat the Warriors anyway.
Well, what was your other stupid theory about staying in the East?
I don't know. What was it? Remind me.
The green theory.
More weed?
No. Him and Kyrie have been plotting.
Oh, right. Yeah, that whole Twitter theory that Kyrie and LeBron got together at the trade or after last year, and he said, I'm going to demand a trade, go to Boston. You wait out a year. We'll feel it out. Hey, it's all good, man. Come on over.
Odessa Waters.
I think the most ridiculous theory I've heard so far, and I hate it because it's being pushed by major media outlets like ESPN and Sports Illustrated, is, oh, he could go to Golden State. No, he couldn't. No.
Yeah.
There's a likelihood that he could. Like, there's a likelihood that in the next 5 years, the world will flood entirely.
I think he's more likely to go and play in LeVar Ball's new league than he is to go and play for the
I would say players. There's higher chances there. So if this were to happen, here's how it would happen. First, you would have to expect that Kevin Durant would take lower pay, which isn't too out of, you know, it's not too unrealistic because he's already done that. But then you'd also have to expect that LeBron James would opt in and they'd have to do a trade for Klay Thompson or Draymond Green because they couldn't afford everybody. The Warriors have worked really well because Kevin Durant has said, I will take a pay cut, and they've paid people the bigger amount of money who they knew were glue guys that they had to keep, like Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to work. And if he does join the Warriors and somehow that does happen, I will no longer watch the NBA.
It will ruin the NBA.
Yes, I will no longer watch games. I won't watch Blazer games either because I won't care because I'll already know the result.
Yeah, that would be the worst case scenario for all of this. The other one that I'm kind of curious about, just because I think it would be cool if you got good basketball in New York, but the other one that people are throwing out is the Knicks, and I just can't see it happening at all.
No, the only intrigue there is Porzingis.
Well, that and, you know, if they can sign another free agent, but they still owe what's his name? Joakim Noah, like $23 million. They're paying him not to play basketball.
Are they still paying Derrick Rose too?
I think they're still playing Bobby Bonilla. Hey-o!
Whoa, baseball bird.
Oh, all right.
There's
a lot on the text line. We'll get back into this when we get into the second hour, but we need to get to Good versus Evil. That is next. You're listening to The Sinner and the Saint on 1080 The Fan.
Have you been too busy to keep up on sports this week?
What has happened to the... What has happened? What has happened to the national interest?
No time to form your own opinions?
I stand before you here today in the midst of gnarly times.
Well, no worries, brah. Let the sinner and the saint shred the gnar while you just sit back and ride the wave. It's time for Good versus Evil, brought to you by the Titan of Hawaiian Restaurants, 808 on 1080 The Fan.
Guys that you surround yourself with and the meaning that it has for you personally and then also just for the game and for the respect of all the people that got you there. And so I suspect if Terrell wants to do this, he's probably going to, I guess he'll do it somewhere else and we'll all hear about it.
That was the man that looks the part of a U.S. Bank branch manager, Steve Young. He's talking about former teammate Terrell Owens. The legendary wideout was selected for enshrinement into the Pro Football Hall of Fame this year, but has declined an invitation to attend the induction ceremony. Instead, T.O. says he will celebrate the moment on his own terms in another place on another day. Owens has been a hot-button candidate for the past 3 years because of his public image during his career. Do you support Owens' decision to be spiteful to the selection board?
No, but I don't support it necessarily. I mean, this, I guess, is what you're going for. I just hope he does a celebration by doing sit-ups in his driveway.
Oh, God, he has to.
That's really the way that you celebrate. Yes. But I don't know. It's the guy's definitely marches to the beat of his own drum. I wonder if he feel like he'll be too emotional if he gets up there and gives a speech. I mean, he had a hard time just in press conferences. The guy's...
It's my quarterback.
It's my quarterback. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's fitting. I guess this is probably the best decision for him. If he doesn't know what to do there, instead of making a spectacle, he still gets all the attention without having to go up and actually do something. Go for it.
If you are right, though. It would be great if he did it sit-ups in the driveway.
Yeah, right. Like, whatever he does is going to be bizarre. This is at least the easy way to be T.O. without having a meme created, I suppose.
Well, I just actually just found out about it when I was walking up to the podium. I ain't really digested enough, but it's typical of him. I mean, I'm not surprised. I'm just, you know, typical of him, and I don't know. I mean, I know no matter who wins this series, no one wants to invite anyway, so.
That was freak of nature and full-grown man LeBron James. He's commenting on President Trump's decision to disinvite the Philadelphia Eagles from visiting the White House because most of the black players refused to go. Instead of honoring the Super Bowl winners, Trump held the whitest concert on earth, full of white people singing white songs about a white country. Now, the president says that neither NBA title-winning team, at this point, the Golden State Warriors, will be invited to celebrate their win at the White House. Does Trump's invite refusal sit badly on the league as a whole?
On the what?
On the league as a whole. So not just the Cavaliers and the Warriors, but does it now look like the NBA doesn't support the troops?
The troops? No, what? I don't think this has anything to do with the NBA supporting the troops. I mean, this is
but
them
Colin Kaepernick. You see where I'm going with this?
I do.
Colin Kaepernick was equated to the entire NFL. This could be equated to the entire NBA.
No, 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 no. This is very much a back and forth between the NBA, which has, I think, the easiest path for their players to be vocal about whatever it is. I mean, the face of the NBA is its players more than any other league. And they can get out in front of it. And, you know, I mean, we talked about this with the free agency thing. The players choose where they go now. The players in the NBA have far more power. And if they want to get up and speak their political views, and not just their players, even Steve Kerr, not afraid to come out and say what he feels about the president. I think it shows what scares the president about people having an opinion that goes against his. It's very childish to me, the whole idea of disinviting people is something that's supposed to be, you know, a fun opportunity for the players. It's kind of, to me, it's far less about the troops and the flag and any of that. The ceremony at the beginning of game four last night was a veteran singing. You had veterans holding the flag. They do a fine job honoring the country, and I don't think it's disrespectful to the military or the flag not wanting to go to the White House where it's been this back and forth on Twitter with the United States president.
Side note, is it difficult for you to take Steve Kerr's social and political opinions seriously when he allows Draymond Green to eye gouge people on the floor? Does he seem a bit
self-satisfying? No. No, Draymond be Draymond. Go nuts. And then
we've seen the Coles and the Charlie Mortons and the Carrascos and the Klubers, in some cases multiple times, the Michael Fulmers and, you know, the Blake Snells. We've seen all these guys, and we've towed up and we've done our thing.
That was Mariners general manager and man most likely to be named Skyler in another life, Jerry DePoto. Now, try to keep a straight face when I utter this next sentence. The Mariners are good. They hold a one-game lead over the Astros in the ALS and do so despite no Robinson Cano and also Nelson Cruz, D. Gordon, Mike Zunino, Ben Gamble, Ryan Healy, and Nick Vincent all spending time on the DL and the Astros' run differential being 100 runs better than theirs.
102 runs better.
I'm sorry. Are the M's for real?
They're amazing. They have 40 wins right now. They're 40-23. 20 of those wins are by one run.
They've had two season sweeps in the last month.
Series sweeps. Yeah, they have. They swept the Rays and they swept the Twins. They're on their way to sweep the Rays again. They're lucky they get to play them. This month will tell you if the Mariners are for real. They've already played the Astros and split a series down in Houston, but they've got the Red Sox, the Yankees on the docket. June is going to be kind of the put up or shut up for the Mariners, but they're good. Are they better than the Astros? Are they better than the Yankees and the Red Sox? Are the only two teams in the AL with a better record than they are? We'll find out. But if they come out of June with the same fire they came out of May with, it could be great.
I don't know, man. I mean, isn't it with baseball you got to wait till August?
Well, yeah, but at this point, it's all you can do is beat the teams that you're playing against. And sweeping the Twins and the Rays doesn't necessarily go, oh, watch out for these guys. But you're supposed to beat the teams you're better than.
It means they're doing their job, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And now you have a chance to play against the big boys. We'll see what they do.
All right, time for my favorite story this week, and it comes from where else but Florida. A jury awarded a couple $6.7 million after they got sick from eating seafood at a Tampa restaurant. The verdict came in May, years after the husband's illness led to a rare disorder that causes paralysis and nerve damage.
Yikes!
Angel Martinez and his wife had eaten 10 times earlier at Lobster Haven. Their usual order was 2 3-pound lobsters and a dozen Blue Point oysters. A few hours after the meal, the couple experienced vomiting and diarrhea, according to court records. Doctors transferred Mr. Gonzalez to Tampa General Hospital, where he spent 7 days in intensive care unit, according to court records. He was also paralyzed from the waist down for several months and had to learn to walk again.
Wow.
Martinez's foodborne illness developed into, and pardon the butchering of this condition, Guillain-Barré syndrome, I think.
Guillain-Barré.
There it is.
Yeah.
Rare disorder that causes the immune system to attack one's own body.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm familiar with Guillain-Barré because my aunt had it. It's terrifying. Starts with the tingling.
Now you're going to make this bad.
Well, no, I'm not. It starts with the tingling sensation in the toes, and then it just works its way up your body in paralysis, and my aunt had it go almost full body. So it's a scary thing. But the weird thing about something like this is they don't necessarily know what the source is. This was a few years ago, 15 years ago, maybe, I'm guessing, that this happened with my aunt, but there was a lot of cases in one little area. So I don't know that it's foodborne, but that's freaky stuff. How much seafood?
Way to just poop on that.
What?
You made it depressing.
It's not depressing that the guy ate too much seafood and was paralyzed. Is that supposed to be a fun story?
I love it. In the article, they say his usual 3-pound lobster and a dozen Blue Point oysters.
I don't know why you think that's so much food.
That's a lot of seafood.
I mean, I suppose
it is. A lot of seafood all at one time.
So here's my question. Is your thing, that's what he gets for eating so much seafood?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Screw him.
Oh, I'm... Jeez. He won his court case. I think you have made this insanely bizarre. Guillain-Barré is not something to fret with. But, yeah.
Well, this is the same thing as Suk's brother getting gout.
Is it?
In 2010. Yeah, he got gout.
Okay.
How the hell do you get gout? You know, gout is done if you eat just way too much meat and no vegetables, really. Okay. That's the dietary cause.
Yeah. I don't think booze helps.
Jesus, gout should be eradicated along with scurvy. Like, how do you get gout?
Okay. You're mad at people for getting sick?
And this person,
what is wrong with you?
Guillain-Barré after eating a 3-pound lobster and 10 oysters. Their usual, by the way.
Your paralysis makes me laugh.
If that's their usual, I want to see a big night.
A 3-pound lobster is what? Like half of its shell? And eating 3 pounds of just lobster meat. So I got to crack through that bad boy.
You're still standing.
I'll take a 3-pound lobster. Sounds delicious. So, sorry that didn't go the way you planned.
Yeah, I was hoping you'd find more joy in that. But obviously, that one hit home for you.
It's not even that. I just don't get the, take that, buddy. That's what you get for enjoying seafood, you jerk. Aren't you pescatarian?
Enjoying.
Shouldn't you encourage people to eat seafood?
Enjoying and gouging, or not gouging, gorging yourself with fish. Come on.
That's a shellfish.
What are you doing tonight? Oh. 3-pound lobster, 10 oysters. Sorry, 12 oysters.
Did they split the dozen oysters?
No, it's that was each of their orders. That's 6 pounds of lobster total. Not that that really matters because it's two people, but.
Wow. All right, well, this fine good versus evil segment ended in typical fashion. Brought to you by our friend.
In tragedy.
Yes, there you go. Brought to our friends at 808, the titan of Hawaiian restaurants, 2454 East Burnside or 52nd and Woodstock. We'll be back with Twitter burner account odds, more NBA finals, and a little bit of college baseball. Center and Saint continues after these messages. You're listening to Center and Saint 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.